What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And today, our guest is Jace Greer from the How to Hunt Turkey Podcast right here on the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And thanks for taking time out of your day to hop on here, Jace.
Absolutely, man. I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah. Busy dude, right? You got a five-month-old baby. You are a musician who travels quite a bit, and you are playing music a lot. Like, do you play music every day, or do you have days off?
I have lots of days off, sometimes more than I would want. The sort of nature of being a musician is, like, it's rare to play every day. Like, it's a weekends thing. So, like, most people are working Monday to Friday and then they take their Saturday Sunday off. I'm working as much as I can Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's like, if you find a Tuesday gig, that's like one in a million. But we play a lot at Silver Dollar City, and they're an amusement park that's open, like, you know, all week. So we'll get in there and we'll play like 6-7 days in a row and not have to be very far from the house. So that's like a huge blessing when we can do that. So yeah, sometimes I play every day forever. And then sometimes I don't play for like 2 weeks and or practice. Which is not maybe good, but that's what I do.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question real quick. As a musician, do you take any and all jobs that you can get, knowing the validity of like your income, or do you have contracts that kind of last for years? How's that work?
Well, Dan, it depends on how desperate we are. Some months we'll take any gig we can get. And some months we're like, listen, if you're not going to pay us $1 million, we're not leaving the house. So
it
varies like completely. Like, usually it's like a one and done basis thing. Like, you book a gig. We try to like have a route going. Like, every year we come back to these same kind of spots. You build a following. These are good promoters that will actually pay you. And it works out that way. But like in the winter, for instance, like we're not able to be as picky as we normally are because we have to be somewhere where A, our tour bus won't freeze, and B, our gigs won't get canceled. So like
because of weather. Okay.
Exactly. So we spend like 2 months every winter in South Texas, and we kind of just take whatever we can get down there. And there's a lot of gigs down there, but not any of them are really good. But that's another place you can play a Tuesday night or whatever. So I just get down there and saltwater fish and bow fish and play music. And it's tough, man. It's like 70, 80 degrees in the middle of January. I barely survive. It's a hard life.
Sounds tough to me, buddy. So what happens when the turkey season shows up and you got to decide, am I playing music today or am I chasing toms?
Yeah, it's not a hard decision. I'm like, I get like all my friends who are musicians part time are like, man, I'm just trying to figure out how I can play more music. And I'm like, listen, I'm trying to play less music and shoot more turkeys. So like last year we had a tour that like the band wanted to book, and I would have been gone all turkey season except like the last 3 days. And I was like, listen, folks, I need this to not be like this. And they were like, well, this is our window. And I'm like, let's find a new one. Let's break a door. I don't know what we got to do here, but we got to change this up. And luckily, like everybody was really gracious and kind. And so we moved it and I was able to be home for turkey season. And that's actually the year I started hosting this podcast. So I was like, man,
oh, nice.
How crazy would that have been to be a turkey hunting podcast who didn't go turkey hunting? So,
right.
Much as I can, I try to like prioritize turkey season because it's a short window, you know, it's 4 or 5 weeks here in Missouri. But like I might be, you know, I might not hunt the weekends at all. Like if I got to go do a gig, I'll go do a gig. But, you know, like I get to hunt a lot more than most people who have like normal jobs. So I try to like balance it out. Like I don't want to be out of state the whole time, but if I got to miss several days to make a living, obviously I'm going to do that. But if I can, I'm going to be chasing them gobblers.
Yeah.
That's a fact, dude. It's like, even though you have a pretty cool job, and I think a lot of people would be jealous of the flexibility, you know, obviously every weekend you're probably playing somewhere doing something, but you know, you got a lot of free time throughout the week. Work is still work, right?
Oh, yeah.
And anytime that, you know, you have to decide, like, unless my job was... See, a lot of people are like, oh, Dan Johnson, you're a podcast host. You probably can go do whatever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah.
That's partially true. I have a lot of flexibility in my schedule, but I still have to do a lot of things every single day of the week in order to make that other part happen. And so, and then you have, like, you don't have this yet, but my kids, they're in school 5 days a week. And I have to be in the area to do the coaching thing and all that stuff and be a father. And so, it's still fun. I love the flexibility, but it's still a job.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we work Monday through Thursday to make sure we have gigs to play, right? And practice our songs and, you know, fix your instruments and like all that stuff and like run social media. Like I was telling you earlier, how we spent all day yesterday shooting video for social media. Like literally from like 9 a.m, I was working on that stuff and I was still working at it at like 9 p.m, which I mean, people work that long. It's not like a woe is me. It's just people see you on stage and they're like, how cool is that? You just go and you play for an hour and then you're done. It's like, no, you work for 5 days to play for an hour and get paid. So,
right.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
All the other behind the scenes stuff that you have to do, like rock stars and musicians, they're the big names, they have to do press and they have to go travel and they got to go do interviews and, you know, go to the studio and all that stuff. So all the other hard work that never really gets seen or represented.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also like, you know, when you get big enough, if some label like signs you and then they do all the work, you sign away 85% of your income. And then you don't have to do all that work, but you don't make any money. So, yeah,
right. Well, it's a balancing act, just like anything in life, right?
It is, man.
Cool. We're going to talk about turkey hunting gear and equipment today. And I love the fact that you said, you know, you look forward to this because you're a cheapskate. So you might have a little bit different of a view than what most people who listen to podcasts might hear. So we're going to get into that in just a moment. But before we get into this episode, I want to send a huge shout out to the partners of the Hunting Gear Podcast. And the first one is Code Blue Scents. If you are into any type of scent elimination products like laundry detergents, the scent elimination sprays, they have like bar soaps and body washes. They have real and synthetic deer urine. I wouldn't smear that on your body, but I would, you know, you could use it in the woods if you're into like drag rags or mock scrape kits. I'm a huge fan of mock scrapes and I use the Rope-A-Dope mock scrape kit. CodeBlueScents.com. Go and check that out and enter the discount code NFC20 for 20% off. Next on the list is Reveal trail cameras. Now, the cool thing about these Reveals is they are extremely easy to set up. The only thing you have to do is download the app in this order, and this is how long it takes. Download the app, open the box, put in the batteries, scan the QR code, and you don't even need an SD card anymore for these cell cams. The only thing you have to do is activate it, and it starts taking pictures immediately, and you can set up multiple trail cameras in a matter of minutes. So go to tacticam.com/cameras and check out the new 3.0 versions of all of the Reveal trail cameras. So huge shout out to those guys. Jace, what does it mean to be a cheapskate turkey hunter when it comes to your gear and equipment? What does that mean?
Being a bluegrass musician immediately makes you a cheapskate. You have to be, because this is just reality, right? But also, I'm not one of these guys who, when I get into something, I'm going to go out and buy the most expensive, the best, the whateverest. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. So we're going to do whatever we need to start. So for instance, my first turkey season that I seriously hunted, my dad had a box, a little cardboard box full of his turkey gear from when he turkey hunted 20 years ago. In there was a box call that actually belonged to my great grandpa. So like back when there were about 10 turkeys left in America, that guy was out there getting after it, which is incredible.
Okay.
So that box call was in there. There were some mouth calls that I obviously didn't use. There was a moldy face mask, and there were two Tascam binoculars that were 8 power and about as big around as a silver dollar. And that was my turkey gear for the first whole year I hunted. That's what I did. You could, like, when you look through these binoculars perfectly, it's like looking through two cardboard tubes, you know, it's just like terrible. And I was like, we're going to get out here and make this work and see if this is anything. And I got so firmly hooked. I hunted every day of turkey season. And that year you could only hunt till one, even on private ground in Missouri. I hunted from sunup to one every day of turkey season. And I was able to shoot a Jake the very last day of turkey season. And that was my gear. Like, I was using leftover deer hunting camo that I had from wherever. So that was first year. And so then the next year I was like, okay, now we can put some money into this. But I still wasn't going to drop just like crazy dough on something. Like, I buy things one thing at a time. Like, every year I'm like, okay, what's one thing that would really make a difference in my hunting? So I always start out with that. So like, a couple of years ago, I had a rough season where I was just missing turkeys like it was my freaking job, dude. I missed turkey. This is how bad it was, Dan. I missed turkeys with two different shotguns in one season. Like, just pitiful. I mean, it just came upon me so powerful. I couldn't handle it. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a better shotgun. So that was like, I was like, number one, we need a good gun.
So it was the shotgun's fault.
Yeah, that's what I decided, Dan. You have to decide something. And it couldn't
be me. It's not my fault. I don't make mistakes.
No, of course not. And the fact that it happened to two shotguns is what proved it was the shotgun and not me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so I had gotten some royalty money from a song that I had written that got a lot of radio play. And I was like, all of this, I just immediately, like starting in January, I was like, I'm dog-earing this for a new shotgun. And so I just put that away for months and finally got enough money to buy a shotgun. So I bought a 12-gauge Viper G2 semi-automatic left-handed shotgun because I shoot left-handed. So owning a left-handed gun was like, dude, I felt like Rockefeller himself, dude. I was like, I am him. I own a left-handed shotgun. No one can even speak to me. I am on another level from the rest of you peasants. You know, meanwhile, I was still running like just junk equipment, but I have a Cadillac of a shotgun that I love. And with this shotgun, Dan, that proves that it was the shotgun. I have never missed a turkey yet with it, so...
Knock on wood, dude.
That's it, dude. Knock on wood. I got some right here. Just knock on it. Yeah.
All right. So the first big investment that you ever made with turkey hunting equipment was your shotgun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say looking back, like I had bought good binoculars for deer hunting, and that was a huge game changer. Like they had a set of Leupold 10x42s. Or maybe they're 48s, can't remember. And I bought those on sale, like, as soon as I saw them. This was back when you could actually buy something on sale at Bass Pro and it was a deal instead of how it is now.
Right.
And that was a huge game changer for my turkey game. But the shotgun was the first, like, turkey-specific purchase that I made.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And so that's a big investment. A shotgun is a big investment, but I look at that and I go, okay, if you are going to invest in a firearm, you might as well invest in a really good one. And that way you can have it to a point where potentially your grandkids are getting your shotgun at some point and then they can use it. I mean, the shotgun that I have and that I do most of my turkey hunting with is a Mossberg pump shotgun, and that's been passed down to me for God. I think probably my mom had it. I don't know where she got it from, but she got it from somebody. She didn't get like go out and buy it. And then now I have it. And so, cause she doesn't hunt anymore, but yes, that would be a very good opportunity. Like that's a great investment. Cause like I'm going to eventually pass this one down to my kids and I'm going to pick up a new one at some point. So, outside of that, when you got, like, when you first started turkey hunting, what was the next thing that pops into my head after the gun is the camo?
Yeah.
What was the first camo set that you ever bought?
Brother, I am still running random hand-me-down and bought at Walmart camo. I have never invested in good camo. So when it's wet, I am wet. When it's cold, I am cold. And when it's hot, I am hot. So like with turkey hunting, one thing that really saves your bacon is like you can get up and move around and you're not ruining everything, right? So if you get too cold, you can do something about it. And, you know, I've got plenty of layers and stuff. Now, I have bought a few things. So like a breathable long sleeve shirt is key, like a breathable long sleeve camo shirt, because I don't want my arms out here flailing around when I'm hunting a bird that's famous for eyesight, right? I need to be completely covered. So I've got a pair of breathable gloves. So they're that like moisture wicking breathable stuff. And I did just get all that stuff at Walmart because it's the night before season. I'm like, I don't have what I need. So I go and spend, you know, it's like, give me the $10-est shirt you have. That's what I would like.
Yep.
And it does the job. I would, you know, it's hard for me to spend money on clothes, period, because I'm a man and it's just not something, you know, I'm just not one of these guys that's like, ooh, look at this cute shirt. I'm going to buy it. It's just not me, man. Like, I don't know. Yesterday, dude, I was wearing a pair of jeans and like I sit down and I look down and the crotch is just blown out of them. I'm like, dang it. This is one of three pairs I own.
So well, it's like, two's better than zero.
It is, dude. And so like for me, that always falls to the lowest priority because you can make it work with whatever you've got. Now, if I had a good pair of camo, would it be better? Yes. But, like, I'm not hiking 5 miles into the backcountry to hunt a turkey. So, like, if I am such a wimp that I can't handle having subpar clothing for 2 hours, I guess I'll go to the truck and suck on my thumb or something. Like, I don't know.
I get it, man. Like, my first years of turkey hunting, man, I don't think I honestly don't know if I've ever worn camo pants during turkey hunting. I may have a couple years, but most of the time, because you're walking and moving around so much, and in the areas where I hunt, there's thorns on the field edges and things like that. And then you sit down. I want something thicker. Like, I'm willing to sacrifice the breathable part of it. If it's cold, I'll throw on a pair of base layers, but I'm wearing like Carhartt, heavy denim, brown pants, and then usually my top is like a camo hoodie or something like that with a brown stocking, brown or green stocking cap. So like I, which should be completely opposite. Like, I'm more in camo. I wear a lot of solids during deer hunting.
Yeah.
But I also wear a lot of camo too, but it's almost the opposite. I should be wearing more camo while turkey hunting, and I just don't. I use the surroundings. Like, I use bushes and trees and for back and front cover. So I put myself in positions where there's a lot of stuff between me and the turkey until they get to shooting distance. So
100%. I don't blame you. I've never been busted sitting still by a turkey. Now, my problem is I almost never sit still, but like, no matter what your camo is, it's never going to bail you out of a bad hide. It is just not going to do that. Yeah. Like, you can say it does, but you're lying. So there's that.
You're a liar. You're just a liar.
It's just not true.
Well, so far I'm picking up what you're putting down, and that is that you don't necessarily need to have a lot of high-end, expensive stuff to go out, have fun, and kill a turkey.
Yeah, that's it, man. Or at least I haven't ever, because I don't have it. So, I'm big on getting other people into the sport and getting them out there and stuff like that. And, like, when you're trying to get a guy who's, you know, as we all are, financially stressed, probably, he's time-pressed, he's all these things, I'm not going to be like, here's what you need to do. You're going to drop about $600 on clothing, as you called it earlier, a top and a bottom. And you're going to need to buy a new shotgun and then buy this really fancy choke and then buy these $600 decoys. And then we can go turkey hunting. Like, guess what that guy's never going to do? He is never going to go turkey hunting. Now, I do have friends that love to just spend money because that's their hobby. But most people are not like that. So I'm like, hey, I've got an extra camo shirt somewhere that I bought 3 years ago at a yard sale. Throw this thing on, wear something dark, and go over here and hide behind this thorn bush and let's see if we can shoot a turkey, man. And I don't know, that's all of my introductions into the outdoors are like that. You know, a hook and a bobber catching a bluegill, a bucket and a 30-30 waiting for a deer. Like, this is how I started. And I think that's where everybody needs to start. Now, like, you know, you get to a point and you just kind of one thing at a time until you're like really happy with your gear. And I mean, that's just my approach. Not everybody has that same approach, but that has definitely been my approach. And also, I have not been turkey hunting for 15 years, right? So I haven't had the time to accumulate stuff. So like, when I roll out deer hunting, my gear is way different than like when I'm rolling out turkey hunting, just because I've had that time to accumulate. And like, I've definitely learned you either need to buy really cheap gear or really good gear. Mm-hmm. Like, don't mess with the middle stuff, because that's just going to work for a year or two and then you're going to have to buy it again. So like, either buy something that is never going to work right or is always going to work right. Maybe that's a silly way to think about it, but like with my shotgun, like, one thing my dad has instilled in me is never sell a gun. He's sold one gun in his life and he regrets it every day, right? And that might be an extreme way to look at it, right? But I'm like, I did not buy that gun with the intention of it working for a couple years. I was like, this needs to work forever. Mm-hmm. Same thing with my binoculars. Same thing with my tree saddle. Like, those pieces of gear, it's like, we got to be locked in if we're going to do it, or we need to just do something different. Sit on the ground, right? Or borrow somebody's gun, or I don't know how you would turkey hunt without good binoculars, but maybe there's a way. I mean, I did it the first year. I've made it work, so it can be done.
I never, for the first, I don't know, 6 or 7 years of turkey hunting, I never brought turkeys or binoculars with me to turkey hunt.
Wow.
Never did it. And a lot of it has to do with, I mean, I'm chasing gobbles for the most part, right?
You got a good
spot. I don't really, maybe the only thing I can see I would need to use binoculars for is if I see a strutting tom out in the field and he's not responding to me, then I can put up the binos and see if there's hens around. And that's why, like, he's not going to come to me. I need to go to him. So, there's that. Okay. So is Walmart your, like, store of choice when it comes to outdoor gear?
It is my store of necessity rather than my store of choice.
I need something.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop into Walmart real quick.
Now, one thing that is huge for me is that I live 45 minutes from the headquarters Bass Pro. Not because the headquarters of Bass Pro is there, but because their catalog outlet store is there. And you roll into the catalog outlet store, and they have the most random stuff you've ever seen. And every now and then, if you pay attention and you go every Sunday after church like I do, you can find deals. Like, for instance, the compound bow I'm using right now, I paid $180 for 4 years ago. And it has done the trick. Of course, because I shoot left-handed, so that helps too. With the helps in the outlet store, right? You go to a retail store and you try to buy something left-handed, and they're like, "Listen, you're going to need to pay me $5 extra for every year you've lived shooting left-handed because it's wrong." Like, it's just crazy. So, anyways, like when you go to something like an outlet store, they're like, "Gosh, what sort of freak's going to buy a left-handed bow? Like, let's mark this thing down." And so that works. So, like, if I can, I try to find all my gear there. Like, the last several fishing poles I've bought, I think every reel I own, I've bought over there for like $20, and they're like $80 to $100 reels. And that is like, that's definitely my store of choice. Like, because I might not enjoy shopping like the Fairer Sex does, but I enjoy a deal, man. Good heavens, I like thrifting.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, man, there is a lot to be said about that when it comes to any type of hunting gear.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
There's guys out there every year who they want the latest and greatest, but they don't need everything that they buy. So what do? They throw it on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace or wherever, and they sell it. And it's almost brand new. It's gently used, and it's 50% off the price.
Yeah.
And so if you pay attention out there, there's people getting away or giving away stuff online. And oh my God. And even having a friend who's like that. So for example, for me, I like to have some latest and greatest stuff. In the position that I'm in, I get a lot of it for free.
Yeah.
So there's guys out there who I've like this past fall, there's a guy like, yeah, I'm really interested in getting into bow hunting. He's about my same height and wingspan. And I gave him a bow for free. And so one of my old bows that I had, and he was very thankful for that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he used it or not, but I think, you know, there's guys out there like that where you can get your gear severely discounted and or for free if you know the right people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like a way I like to think about it is I want to use my generosity to spend more time hunting and to get other people mm-hmm. out hunting. I don't want to right. use that on buying gear brand new. That's kind right. of my thing. Because, you know, gas is tragically not free. And right. I don't hunt out of my backyard, right? So every single time I go turkey hunting, there's a dollar amount it's going to cost me just to get there. And I want right. to use my dollars to hunt, not to think about hunting and play dress up, I guess.
So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great point. That's a great point. Outside of that, man, see, a turkey hunting is secondary for me.
Yeah.
So I don't care that much. Like whitetails, way more energy and time mm-hmm. put into my gear. My bow, way more time and energy put into that. I got an old shotgun. It shoots turkeys in the face just like new shotguns do.
Yeah, man.
As far as the gear is concerned, man, I don't care. Like, I just don't care that much. The next investments that I have will be going to probably Walmart and getting camo for my kids to hunt, not even myself. So I'm going to be doing that. And then outside of that, everything I do, I tend to buy the cheaper route, especially for turkey season.
Well, I think like for me, turkey season is so much shorter too. So like I know
right.
whatever piece of gear I buy, I get to use for like a handful of weeks. And like for me, I am also a very hardcore bow hunter. So like Missouri's opener is September 15th. And in Missouri right. on September 15th, you can get a heat stroke. So like if mm-hmm. you've got the gear you need to bow hunt for a season, you've got the gear you need to turkey hunt, right? Because I'm hunting
right.
in 85 degree weather and I'm hunting in like... Well, it never gets terribly cold. Like I might hunt like a 20 degree day in Missouri for deer. And so like in spring, you can get both of those. You can get 80 and you can get right. 20 here in Missouri. So like you're already kind of you're already locked in. And I think that's one thing that just makes me love turkey hunting all the more is it is not as heavy of a lift to get into. You know, you shoot a turkey and you've got a 20-ish pound bird to deal with. You shoot a deer mm-hmm. and you've got a whole lot more to deal with. A lot of people just, you know, like, I don't know of anybody who takes a turkey to a processor, right? It's like, I'll figure it out. It's right. a big chicken. But, like, people get yep. scared about, like, oh, gosh, working up a deer. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. But, like, I got into it backwards, right? I was a deer hunter and then I became a turkey hunter. But all my buddies, I'm like, right. come turkey hunt. And then we'll deer hunt. So,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So when it comes to calls, all right, do you have a favorite call that you use or have you expanded past the box call into the mouth calls now?
Yeah, I have. So for years, I did just use that box call because, man, it doesn't hardly get easier than running a box call. It's like grab this piece, move it to the left. If it sounds wrong, go faster or slower, press more or less. Like you've got
right.
very limited
right.
things, right? So I bought a diaphragm call. It was, I forget the brand, but it was like designed for beginner diaphragm call users. So it had like this plastic shielding that was dome shaped that was to go in the top of your mouth to help you create that seal. And that thing was straight up garbage. You could not get any rasp. You could not get any tone. It was like, it was just trash. And I used it for like a year or something trying to learn this mm-hmm. thing. And like, one thing that happens to me a lot is like, you can get in your own microchasm with turkey calling. Musicians do this a lot too. If you only are listening to yourself, you start making sounds that are just wild because you're like, yeah, that works. And like in a musician sense, that can be really cool and creative or garbage. In a turkey calling sense, it's just garbage because you're trying to sound like a hen. And if you haven't been listening to live hen sounds on, you know, on YouTube, like if you're listening to somebody else trying to sound like a hen and then you're trying to sound like them, the like levels of separation there are hurting you. So like I finally was like, oh, let's look this up. So I look up on YouTube hen sounds and I've got my diaphragm call and I'm trying to follow along and I'm like, oh, I can't do any of this. So I was like, let's go get a call with some cuts in it because I've heard that the more cuts you get, the better you can get for like raspiness. So I bought a batwing diaphragm call, popped that thing in, immediately just was sounding like a turkey. And I was like, oh, so it's not impossible. And I really have not done anything with slate calls or pot calls or really any other box calls because I often hunt by myself. So I'm like, I don't want something that's going to tie my hands up. So I pretty well only use just the one diaphragm call because I'm not the most skilled caller, right? So I have to depend on like hunting more than calling. So I have to, I have to use the terrain. I have to move in and I have to be passable on it. So yeah, I use diaphragms and then just my grandpa's old box call. And those are the two that I use. But the good thing about a diaphragm call too, is they're very cheap. They're going to take you a little time to learn, but you cannot get a better sound for cheaper than a diaphragm call. So like I've been telling people on my podcast, like every week, like go get a call, practice it, like start now. Cause two weeks is not enough time. So
I definitely need to do that. And I remember buying a diaphragm call a long, long time ago. And I was in the car with my uncle and I was maybe 19 years old and I was practicing. He's like, that's enough.
Yeah.
Like, you're not practicing in this car when we're driving down the road. Like, I don't care where you do it, but you're not doing it here. Yeah. So I never really picked it up, but I don't even use a diaphragm call ever. I got a buddy, Kevin Creeley, and you guys are trying to get me fired up about turkey season and my buddy, Paul Campbell. And all I want to do, I'm just going to go buy a cheap one and I'm going to see what it does. See if I can't get it to, you know, just the basic, you know, whatever. And get something to come into that. So that way I don't have to, cause I've been busted trying to run a slate call and have my, and just doing this motion here. So I've been busted doing that. And so, I got to find a way to do something a little bit different and maybe step up my game this year.
Absolutely. I think a lot of times it's really easy because like when you're watching YouTube videos and stuff, the only diaphragm calling you're seeing is like master level, very good. And you're like, okay, I've got to know bubble clucks. I've got to be able to do a natural voice gobble. Like I got to do all this stuff or else I shouldn't even try it. And it's like, man, you don't have to do that. Like you were saying, like get them in with whatever call you're comfortable with. And if you can make a few clucks and a few yelps, that's going to work. And if it's not going to work, it's probably not because of your call. Because if you've got a bird coming in, I don't know, you have to be pretty bad at calling or really overcall to screw it up. Because what I've found is like, there's two kinds of turkeys that I hunt, and I hunt really pressured birds. They're either fired up and they're going to come in almost no matter what, or they're henned up and they are not going to come in almost no matter what. I can do the fanciest calling sequence. I can do all that stuff. And sometimes it just doesn't matter. And so get you a diaphragm call, learn two things really well and learn how to shut up and you're going to be dialed in.
That's my issue, dude. I'm an overcaller. Yep. Like
oh,
I,
me too.
I go. Yeah. I call so much and I call to the point where I feel like the toms are coming in to stomp the head of the hen because I'm calling so much. They're like, shut up.
Shut up.
We're over here. Come here. but it's just worked for me in the past And so I'm a natural over caller. Outside of the box call, I mean, that's got some sentimental value to it. Are there any specific brands of calls that you kind of lean towards, or is that also, hey man, whatever's available at that catalog store or Walmart?
Yeah. So for me, I actually bought my diaphragm call from a local outdoor store. It's called I Am Outdoors here. It's like 2 minutes from my house, and they've got like a local Ozarks guy who makes mouth calls. And so I got one of his. I can't even remember the name of it, which that's kind of sad. I hate that. But yeah, it's a local diaphragm call. It's Ozark something or other. And I just got along really good with it. And then I let it mold. And so I'm without it right now. So I need to go pick up another one. But I've been wanting to get a few different ones to try to see if I can get myself even that next level better. Because if I could call turkeys in reliably, that would be pretty cool. But presently, I'm not doing that much. But, you know, the book that every turkey hunter, like, loves is, like, 10th Legion by Tom Kelly. And, like, in that book, he talks about how your calling is maybe 40% of turkey hunting. And I just feel like there's a lot of guys who've made it 99% of turkey hunting. And that's great if they can
do
it. Yeah, but you don't have to, like, okay, I'm going to call them in or nothing. Like, there's so much more you can get out of turkey hunting than I'm going to sit here and make noises until I shoot one at 20 yards. Now, like, yeah, that's the game. That's the one-on-one. That's super cool. But what I love about turkey hunting is I've never had two turkey hunts that are the same. Like, it's always changing. It's very dynamic. It's very, like, ebb and flow. And that's what I love, right? But everybody's got their own thing for sure. But now I will say one piece of gear I forgot to mention that I absolutely rely on when I'm turkey hunting is a good pair of rubber boots. That is that is key, because if you're going to be walking miles a day and you're going to be crossing creeks and sloughs and ditches and the grass is always wet and it's knee high, you need a good pair of rubber boots. And, you know, I've kind of gone back and forth because I have a real problem with any boots ever because I have a size 15 foot. So like,
Holy cow.
Yeah. The first thing you get to do with a size 15 foot is wish you could buy shoes. Maybe this is why I don't like to shop. I can't buy shoes anywhere ever because it's just, they're like, I'm like, hey, what's the biggest shoe size they've got? And they're like, oh, come over here to Neanderthal section. And it's like a 13. And I'm like, friends, we're not even close. So I have to order my boots online. There's no other way to do it. And so, like, I had a pair of 14s that I squaz into. That's a Missouri word, squaz. It's past tense of squeeze.
Squaz, okay. Yeah.
Squaz into and immediately wrecked them because my feet are too big for them, right? So there's $100 gone. So then I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a good pair of boots. They're going to last me for some years. We're going to go in. So then I bought a $300 pair of rubber boots, which is insane. But there were two companies that made a size 15 rubber boot. So my options were take it or leave it. So I bought them. And I got along really good with them for 2 years. And then they're cracked all the heck. And I'm like, man, $300 for 2 years. I don't like that. So this year I found what looks like a good pair of boots. They look comfy. Because I have extremely flat feet and I suffer with terrible feet pain like all the time. So I have to get like comfy stuff. And I'm like, you know what? It was like with tax and shipping and everything, it was like $105. And I'm like, we're going to give these a try. And even if I have to replace these in 2 years, that's a lot easier to swallow. So that's what I'm doing this year. We'll see how that goes. I might be 2 days into season and without boots.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, banshee flying, space mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
and the super athlete is stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Right. I do a lot of division that way. Like, how many years am I getting out of this product? So, like, for example, I don't know, the first thing that came to mind was Lone Wolf tree stands, the old Lone Wolf. Well, I mean, it's metal.
Yeah.
Right. So unless I destroy it or do something dumb with it, I'm going to be able to use this forever. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, there's certain products like that. I have a box call that I've had since day one. That box call was obviously well made. I haven't sat on it or broke it yet. I have, two slate calls that are the same way. I've had those forever, over 10 years for both of them. So those work great. Boots are obviously different because I use those for all my hunting and outdoor adventures. But, you know, I go back to the same pair of pants and the same hoodie, and it's all, it's all about cost per season. And so if there's one product that season, it's going to cost me, but that price goes down every season I use it. So
exactly.
And there's some seasons where, cost per season. And there's some years where the only thing I'm paying for is tags and gas. And that's great thing.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So, yep. Do you run a specific turkey vest or backpack?
So I run a backpack. I've done the vest thing before, but like, again, unless you're willing to like really shell out some dough for a good one, you're going to be suffering because a lot of turkey vests are not really like adjustable. So it's like, are you really fat or just a little fat? And you need the same size for all of them, right? And during the course of a turkey season, I'll be both of those. I'll start at one weight and I'll end at a very different one. And same thing happens to me in deer season, of course, because little Debbie cakes are real.
They'll catch up to you.
Yeah. So I decided a couple years ago it was time to just go backpack. And I am a notorious overpacker in the woods. I carry too much stuff with me. Because like, you know, you get out there and it's 40 degrees, but by the end of the day, it's 70 degrees. And when you're doing the roost play, you're sitting in water at the base of a tree for an hour and a half, and it's 40 degrees. So how much gear do you need? You need almost all of your warm gear for that. Or at least I do, because I guess I'm a wimp. But you sit there, and then you get up and you start walking around. Now I got to shed all these layers. Well, I'm not just going to leave them laying around, and I can't just wad them up and keep them in my hand. So I have a backpack. I actually bought, a couple of years ago, I bought an Alps Outdoors pack. And it has been a workhorse for me. Like, it fits a lot of stuff and it fits well. It's comfy. And now I can barely get everything in it, but I think that's just always going to happen. Like, you fill the space that you have in your backpack.
Right.
And so, like, if you want to carry less stuff, get a smaller backpack. Like, people always say that about, like we tour, you know, and when we're on tour, they're like, oh, I don't know how you fit everything. And it's like, you just do. You just fill the space that you have. There's no such thing as extra space. Like, my house is like, so I can go for 2 months out of a 45-foot long Prevo bus. And then I come home to my like 2,300 square foot house and I'm like, there's not enough room in this house. Okay. What? So anyways, it's not the backpack's fault that it can't haul enough stuff. It's my fault for just shoving gear in it. But I like to take a camera. That's something that I bought a good one a few years ago. I bought a Nikon Super Zoom camera because for me, like, getting a good, video of something is like a little victory. Like, like, you ever put a trail camera out and you get like multiple daylight pictures of your shooter. You're like, dude, I won. I did it. Like, I might never kill this deer. I might never see him, but I got him. Like, I got him
on camera.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I love to do that. So, I've got that and a tripod, and then I've got, like, a couple layers, some water, some snacks. And then, like, if I'm trying to haul my decoys, like, you know, like, if you're trying to do all that, if you're trying to run and gun with decoys, like, you've got to go the backpack route, I think. Unless you're just dialed in on how to use your turkey best. So that's what I do. I run a backpack and it works good for me.
Fair enough. It's a backpack, but it's designed for turkey. So the hip belt has big pouches on it. That's where I keep my calls. In the back, it's one giant big pouch with an L frame. So I don't need a tree to lean up against. I sit back and then I slouch down in it. And then that way my shoulders are level with my knee and I can line up really good. And that's where I keep my water and my toilet paper and maybe some snacks and things like that, that I'll take out with me. But most of the only reason I really have that is for, to put a big Tom in when I shoot them. So it's something I've had for a long time. Some of the zippers don't even work anymore. So it's just, I don't know. I need to get a new one. I know Tethered has one that I really want to get.
Those look slick.
I haven't picked those up yet, but, that one's everybody that I've talked to, says that's a great one. But outside of that, I'm usually maybe 400 yards away from a truck, 500 yards at the max, or I can drop the turkey off and drive and come get it if I'm feeling extremely lazy.
Yeah.
But, it's all there, right? Yeah. So, it's not like when I go on a backcountry mule deer hunt or elk hunt and I need to have a tent with me and all my food and things like that. It's just it's a from the truck hunt. And outside of that, is there any other gear or equipment that you think needs an honorable mention when we're talking about turkey hunting?
Yeah, I think a good camo netting scenario is pretty key when you're turkey hunting, especially early in the spring when there is zero cover. You can try your best to hide on the ground when all the grass is dead and all the leaves are off. That's going to be tough unless you are in some thick, nasty stuff. And if you are, the turkeys are probably not there. So if you're trying to come call them in off a field edge or whatever, and there's no vegetation to work with, that camo netting has saved me a lot of times. And I'll spend a bunch of time clearing out an area, putting sticks in the ground and making a impromptu blind with it, essentially, where I can just see over it. If I'm in an area, if I've gotten so desperate that I'm sitting and waiting for turkeys to just kind of stroll through, which is what I have to do sometimes on my properties, cause it's just not covered up in turkeys. So, that has worked really good for me a few times. You set up your decoys, you set up this mesh netting, and now you're feeling super confident. You can call like crazy. You're not too worried about them catching you from some weird angle. That's a pretty key part of my turkey kit for sure. And like I said, those breathable gloves I think is huge because hand movement happens all the time. You got to get a good face mask, get you some gloves, cover up that skin, and you're going to just do a lot better. Get in a shadow, cover up your skin, drape that mesh netting all around you, and you're just not going to be seen unless you're like me and you just squirm constantly. That's a problem. Yeah. But I also do have a cushion, just a seat cushion. It's really for deer hunting, but it's got a clip on it, and you can just go around your waist and clip it. And I just clip that thing on, and I just wear it. Because I'm always sitting in the middle of some root wad up against some crooked tree or whatever. And if you can't hold still, you can't shoot a turkey. And so for me, if my butt is frozen and my legs are asleep, I'm not going to be holding still. So those are kind of some of the key periphery items that I try to stay locked in with.
Yeah. Great. And this just goes to show how much money do you want to spend, right? Yeah. Do you want to spend a ton of money on turkey gear and equipment? Dude, you can do that. They got what decoys are those really expensive?
Oh, the Dave Smith decoys.
Dave Smith decoys. Yeah. Hey man, I've killed turkey with a decoy that has been hit by a lawnmower. And it worked just fine. There was an ant's nest in it when we found it, and we used it that night. Oh, wouldn't you know it, Tom came into it. So
yeah.
You name your price and you can spend it, whether that's, you know, the bare minimum at Walmart, or you can go to the specialty shops and find all that stuff. But what kind of decoys do you use, or do you use decoys?
Dude, I'm using the very top of the line Walmart foam decoys. I don't even remember what they're called, but they are $10 to $12 a piece. I've got two hens and one Jake, and I have lost the stakes for them like five times. So a lot of times right before deer season or turkey season, I go out and I find some sticks that are about the right height, and I get out my pocket knife and I do some good old-fashioned whittling, and I get it like to where it'll fit up in there. And what I do, this is a life hack for all my fellow cheapskates out there, is you can get a submissive breeding hen decoy and a standing decoy. And the only difference from the Walmart one is that you just don't put the standing decoy high. You just put it on the ground instead. Boom. Submissive hen decoy.
Boom. Multitasking.
That's it, dude. You want a feeder hen decoy? Just take a longer stick and put it up the hen's butt. And now she's leaning over.
Leaning forward. I mean,
dude, yeah. You can do anything with them. But dude, like you said, like when it works, it does not matter. Like I've got, well, the video that opens my podcast, like the video version, is three toms coming in to absolutely thrash that Jake decoy, because I had a little fake submissive hen set up, and then I had that Jake, and then I had another one just out there, and they came in like God had painted those decoys, man. It was like not a moment's hesitation. They ran in. And like, now also I've had birds look at them and then be like, heck no, and run away. So like, you know, you buy the expensive decoy when you want it to work every time, but
every time. Okay.
Yeah. That's
not the drunk decoys or the drunk turkeys who come into everything.
Exactly. At least that's what the people that are selling them want you to think. I've never used them, so I can't say, but
there you go.
You know, like I remember one time I had my decoys set up and this bird was gobbling off the roost like crazy, just like probably 300 times in like 10 minutes. Just insane. Like he was cutting himself off gobbling, just going absolutely ham. He flies down into the field like it is barely light enough to even see him. And it's like the biggest turkey I'd ever seen. His head looked like a softball, like huge fan. Mm-hmm. He comes out, struts at 80 yards. Finally gets close.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Close enough to see my decoys. He folds down and runs. And what I've learned is like a lot of times when a bird is gobbling like crazy on the roost, What they want is to fly down, the hen to come to them, and then to run off because they've been beat up recently, right? And I had like a Jake decoy set up. And I think what happened there was he saw that and he's like, listen, I'm a lover, not a fighter. And he got out of there. I don't think it would have mattered what my decoys were. Just having that Jake was probably what was wrong. And I think most of the time when your decoy setups break down, it's because you've got them facing the wrong way or you've got the wrong ones out or they're in the wrong position. But but yeah, that's what I run for decoys. And what's really good about them is they can fold down and go in your backpack so easy. They take up no space. They weigh nothing. So that's a huge benefit for me.
Yeah. My decoys that I use, it's like a cloth around like a metal, a collapsible metal frame, almost like a pop-up tent type thing. Mm-hmm. And you can just smash them down. They're from Montana Decoy. You can smash them down, throw them in your backpack. And I have, what do I have? I have two hens like that. And then I have a flex tone. It's like a full bodied Tom mm-hmm. that I throw out there sometimes, and it blows in the wind a little bit. So there's movement to it. Nice. They don't necessarily come into that one a lot. I always take the two hens, I put them close together, and then I'll put the strutting Tom about 50 yards behind it so that it looks like there's some room there for the other Tom to kind of come in and make a move. But sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I am not the greatest turkey hunter in the world. I just, I don't know. I just go and I get lucky, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think that's hunting, right? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. Like when you go out to the woods and you're like, if I don't call in every bird, if my decoys don't work every time, it's because I don't have the right gear. It's like, brother, you're just hunting. It's not that. It's just you can't win every time.
Yeah, you just got to go buy a new shotgun, right?
You do have to do that. with a 26-inch barrel.
Jace, man. There you go. There you go. Yeah. Jace, man, thanks for taking time out of your day to do this.
Absolutely.
Good luck this spring, and keep me posted on how you do, man.
Will do. Do the same, man. Good luck out there, and can't wait to see you over some birds.
I get so many headaches every month.
It could be chronic migraine, 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. It's not for those who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Prescription Botox is injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Why wait? Ask your doctor. Visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.